Tell me more about your outsourcing business that you're doing.
So it's actually kind of been a lot of fun. I got into the outsourcing just if I go back in time, I really got interested in it back when I was working at Novell, and we had a India Development Center, and working with the groups over there became very interesting to me. And I'd say that now I've expanded into a business for both sort of my own, you know, experience and learning about where I see the future going, along with as an actual money-making business. So I've now got teams of developers in both India and the Philippines, and we basically will do just about any type of development that anyone wants, or even other types of services, whether it's, digging through Google for certain information or other types of, administrative tasks. But in India, we've got certified .NET developers, LAMP developers for the whole Linux PHP area, Ruby developers, and can also do lower level Windows development, C++ in India. In the Philippines, it's kind of interesting. Mostly there, it tends to be research work, or it'll tend to be LAMP development. A lot of the LAMP process there. There is some Java development we're doing there. It's kind of interesting to watch, and this is where I've learned certain things socially. Excuse me. It's where different corporations got a hold of almost like different countries. Sun has a very strong presence in the Philippines. And in the school systems, they've injected educational content in C++ and Java development. But as the developers graduate, they tend to migrate more towards PHP as a similar, to C or C++. We've got a number of companies over there doing anything from large scale, financial applications to just basic website development. And I'm just continuing to expand. We've got a couple of new market areas that we're just starting to set up for that we aren't announcing yet, but starting to utilize the talent. And, again, the thing that's fascinating to me about it, that and reason I've gotten involved and want to be involved in this area, is that the developers over there are coming out of school, are talented, are hungry, and can write code, and are looking for a way to participate in the internet and the internet community and the internet economy. And, to me, here in the U.S., the way I've written about it and I've talked about it in the past is that I think that we for some reason, still have this not invented here or I must code everything from scratch mentality. And I think that those people in other countries who are getting into the computer industry are getting very similar educations and are very interested in participating and are definitely a resource to be leveraged.
So it seems like having or working with people in three different countries, Philippines, China, and India, is a lot more overhead than just working with people in one. Why are you in all three? What's the difference? What makes it interesting to be there?
So actually, it's only two. It's India and the Philippines. I've looked at China. I haven't completely gone in there yet. The big thing that I found is there is a cultural and cost difference in the Philippines versus India. India and the developers that I have there and the team that we've created there is run by some managers over there in a much more methodical, process-oriented organization. And it's very much a team environment. So we have everything from QA and test to developers, managers who are actually managing the developers. It is literally just a machine. It's unbelievable how on top of things they can be very methodical. And again, because of the team structure, even though you might be buying a developer, you're going to get a project coordinator with that. That project coordinator might even end up bringing in, QA resources or other things in the background if he feels they're needed without you necessarily even seeing that. So it's really, at that point, at a higher price point, you're buying into a much, much more structured organization. In the Philippines, we're operating at about half the cost. So you're definitely at a cost savings. But at that point, you're really picking up a college graduate with a degree that might have one or more years of experience developing, and you are going to be managing that person. There is nobody there in the office that really oversees anything more than them coming to work and leaving on time. You're going to be managing the tasks of that person, answering questions, interacting, and really training them up on your model, how you work. And at that point, it's really up to you to be much more involved and active on a daily basis with driving them and keeping them on track.
Yeah. So when do you recommend one, a Philippine developer versus an India developer to a client?
You know, it's kind of funny. It really does come down to the type of manager or the person who's looking for a development resource. If they're looking to sort of throw something over the wall and not be quite as involved, then the India resources really come in handy there, because you've got a project coordinator, you've got a project manager who's going to be there on top of things that you can interact with, that's really going to drive and manage those engineers. If you're somebody who doesn't mind and wants to save money, that's another big criteria. You want to save money and pay half the amount for a developer, and you don't mind really developing a person overseas to work with you, to constantly be in touch, and to really cultivate them on a longer period of time, one-on-one or with a couple of people, at that point, then, the Philippines really makes sense. The other thing is the scope of the project. I think that, if you're looking for a larger scope development project, India tends to work a lot better for those. Whereas, again, in the Philippines, I've got a number of projects there that are just sort of the one-off website creation or custom data harvesting. So people who might, as an example, they might want to get a database together of all of the indoor climbing gyms in the United States. Well, we can throw people at that in the Philippines very cost-effectively who are just going to Google every state looking for that, digging it together, putting it together. That's not the kind of thing that we'd push over to India. Now, I should back up on another side in India. One of the capabilities we have there and have developed out is a lot of transcription capability. So transcribing audio content into data typed input is another thing that we do in India. And again, that's very methodical, and it's checked and double-checked and things like that. So that's a service that we offer over there.
As you have these different people, Philippines and India, and you have clients that are talking to the different ones, are you in the middle of that interaction, or are you pretty much just, here's your people, here's the price, go for it, or do you help manage?
So, part of what I work to do is to assist in educating and pointing out to people and giving tips on how to effectively communicate and get things done. So, but I don't play in the middle. As we get the developers going, we set them up directly on Skype and IM, email. We provide hosted project management software. If necessary, we can provide hosted code repositories and other things like that. And then once they get going, I will monitor the communications and watch what goes back and forth. I talk to the developers just to kind of get their feel for how things are going. I watch. What I found a lot is a lot of this is the tone of communication and the type of communication that goes back and forth. If I see a client write a message that they're upset about something, I'll attempt to go and talk to the developers online about why that might be and maybe provide a little bit of translation of the frustration. But I do really try to stay out of the way. I would much rather that people here would really learn how to effectively use those resources overseas, because it's whether they use me and my company or they go on in the future and use some other company or expand over there. To me, that's the real skill to develop. That's the real talent to develop here. I've talked with some people. I don't know if I mentioned to you. I know I blogged about this. I mean, I can see in the not too distant future where I'm going to be looking for resumes of people who actually have managed or utilized outsourced resources. And I could see the day where you're going to be looking through resumes of people who say, if you hire me, I'll bring my team of outsourced developers with me, that they already have those people and that you're buying into a larger deal of not just hiring a developer, but hiring a developer and some additional people that, that they work with.
Yeah, so let's say a friend comes to you and says, Scott, you know, my daughter wants to major in computer science, but I know you're doing this outsourcing thing, and it sounds to me like all the jobs are going overseas. What do you think? What would you tell them?
You know, I would say absolutely go into computer science. I think there's a future in it. I think that there is, you know, and that getting your degree, you are going to learn the fundamentals, and you're going to learn, you know, programming, you know, and things like that. But that what you ought to be thinking the entire time is, what are the higher level tasks that I can become more in touch with, interacting with the customer, defining user stories and defining features and requirements documentation, and focus on managing remotely. Because what I don't think makes sense anymore here is to get a CS degree. And again, I don't know how to describe this other than my analogy of, you know, if you're going to go in the automobile industry, you know, you are not going to start off by looking at how you make your own steel and make your own nuts and bolts and make your own gas tanks and windshields and all the rest. I mean, you're going in the auto industry, you're going to be getting all those components elsewhere and simply doing what I'd call meta assembly of the final product. And that's the thing I would tell them is, when you're going into software, you're learning about object-oriented programming. Think about how to design objects and the architecture of your software that you could outsource the bulk of the objects somewhere overseas, somewhere where someone would code those up, and that what you're doing is this meta-assembly of higher-level applications.
So you see the future being assembly, not building components.
Yeah, I mean, if I look across the board you know, just about any other industry, it seems that that's what's gone on, except in something like software. You know, you're buying components from elsewhere and doing final assembly here, or, you know, at some point, you aren't even doing assembly at all. I mean, you know, when you look at Nike, you know, Nike's a pretty extreme example of where things get to. You know, and I think this is part of why I really like the model of Ning, you know, wrapping back to our initial conversation. You know, the interesting thing about Ning to me is that if you were to leverage the outsourced developers and you've got this hosted model and you continue to add components to it, you know, it isn't about necessarily all that code underneath. It's that you're providing a social network to people. Someone overseas, you know, isn't going to have that real specific domain knowledge that you have. And I think that software has become this art of, you know, I'll take your domain knowledge and I'll craft you something from the ground up. And I don't think it really needs to be that. You know, it's that if you have someone with domain knowledge, that's the thing to leverage. It's not necessarily that you build everything software-wise from the ground up. And, you know, another example of where this sort of ties in is even with open source. You know, how many developers might not even look at an open source solution as a possible platform to move forward with a service-based application?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. I think a lot of it's interesting how many applications we build these days that are mostly pulling things together, right?
Yeah.
You spend all your time figuring out, oh, here, I want to use this component, I need this thing, and then what you're really doing is writing some code that integrates all of those various components.
Exactly. And so that's really where, you know, I think that, you know, it's an interesting balancing act. I would have to say that I'm really shocked at how many people are sort of touchy and up in arms about outsourcing as I approach and have conversations with people.
You're probably right in the firing line of that.
You know, it's kind of surprising to me that, you know, they're very touchy about it. And yet, but it's not as though I see the end of computer science for Americans, right? I don't see that at all. But you know, I grew up in a very different part of the country. I grew up in Pennsylvania, and as I was growing up, I heard all this conversation about the steel industry in America. And right there in Pittsburgh were all these steel mills, and it was all the jobs and the people losing their jobs and the steel mills getting closed down. But I think that when I look at it, there is this natural evolution of you can try to fight to protect that or realize that other people in the world were able to make steel and they're able to make it cheaper. And there's nothing you can really do about that. And yet, there still are higher level applications of the knowledge and everything else that moved up the food chain and allowed Americans to continue and have other jobs and things. And I think the same thing is going on in CS. I think that when I look at it, it's the same sort of model that those people are, you know, I go overseas and I meet with these teams, and I meet with these kids that are getting out of college. And, you know, I mean, it's just amazing to me, their excitement, their interest. They are so in tune with the internet. They're watching all the same kind of websites that we watch. They're tracking it, and they want to participate. They are hungry for it, and they can live at a cost that's so much lower than anyone here in the country. Mm-hmm. There's nothing we can do about that. That's just a reality that exists. So to me, it's immediately looking for how do we, make use of and utilize that horsepower out there. And I think that we are creative. And as Americans, we've always been very inventive on thinking about how to harness that horsepower and utilize it to, you know, accelerate what we're doing even further.
Yeah. Well, and like you say, I think that's kind of the way, a fact of life, not just for America, but for all developed countries. And it's in our interest to do that, to bring them into the world economy.
Yep. Well, and it's funny to watch already. One note that relates to that is to watch what's going on in India. And this is part of why I love being involved in the Philippines also. As India has continued to move forward, as it's ramped up, as its economy goes, as its, I don't know whether I'd call it a middle class or, you know, as the people there are working and their wants and desires are picking up, their opportunities there. All of a sudden, they are becoming more expensive than other places, like the Philippines. And so it's interesting to see that as our economy has grown and certain things have happened, that same sort of thing is starting to happen in India already. And, already we're looking to tap into other countries to get even more cost-effective employees that we can utilize while their infrastructure develops. And I'm sure at some point their cost of living, everything else will start to go up. And I think it's there's an aspect to where I really enjoy seeing, making a difference in those other places to see the opportunity you can provide those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you outsource your project to India, you might want to check whether they're outsourcing it somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that is, you know, and it's funny, that's one thing that we're working on right now. We're working one model that we're looking at is utilizing the Indian management resources to manage developers in other countries because they do have it down to a science and they've got it down to a real interesting process.
That's interesting.